Just supposing I should say that I've a heart to share, would it matter at all? Do you care?
Order this meeting of the City of Goleta Design Review Board Tuesday, May the 9th of 2017. And I would like to start with asking everybody to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
And I would like to ask for the roll call.
Member Carroll. Member Clinton.
Here.
Member Shaler.
Present.
Member Swaney.
Here.
Member Whalen.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Chair Branch is absent.
Okay. So at this point, this is the time for the public forum. The public will have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. If anybody so wishes, their speaker slips out, but I don't see anybody requesting that. So we'll move on to item A, call meeting. Well, we did. We already did the roll call. Call meeting to order and roll call. They did that twice. Okay.
No,
so let's go to item B, administrative agenda.
Motion to approve the minutes, Chair.
Second.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet. Or did we?
Yes, B1.
Okay, yes, I'm sorry. I'll second. Yes.
I know, and we'll talk
about it. I'll second it. Any discussion? If not, all in favor of approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Abstain.
Okay, and one abstention. That goes to item B2, the planning director's report.
Hey, good afternoon, Chair and members. So we'll start out talking about your new agenda packet. And we, as we mentioned, Chair Smith and I just were talking about Debbie Good, who has left the city. So we have a new system on the agenda where we're uploading agendas and staff reports on a online process. So there are some hiccups through this process. That was the first run, so hopefully your next packet will be in better order. I noticed there's a few repeats that we just experienced. So if you have any feedback, you can email me and let me know how it's working for you. The other item is that on this Friday, the State of the City is being held at the Bacara, and there is a cost in that event. And then there is a free event, free to the community, on Wednesday, May 31st, and that's at the community center. So if you'd like to attend, that's a new format, a free to the community for the State of the City. So that's May 31st, and then the one at Bacara is May 12th. And that's all I have.
Agenda.
Okay, so today we do have one item that the applicant has requested continuance, and that is your item E3. That's the Marriott Residence Inn overall sign plan. And if we could have a motion to continue that item to May 23rd.
Motion to continue to May 23rd.
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And there's a second public comment section. So we need to.
You can ignore that.
Right. So that takes us over to section E, sign review. So, Linda, if you could call the first item, please.
Okay. Item E1 is New America's tire signage located at 151 South Fairview Avenue, APN 073-080-019, case number 17-024-DRB.
All right.
Mr. Chair, it looks like the applicant for that item is not here yet, so perhaps you can move on to the next item, E2,
yeah.
With the applicant is here.
Let's go ahead and do that. So let's call item E2, please.
And I'll be abstaining, Chair.
Okay.
E2. I'm abstaining from this item.
E2 is the car stereo guise and window tint signage located at 5841 Hollister Avenue, APN 071-114-001, case number 17031-DRB.
Good afternoon, Board. We saw this project come at both meetings last month, and the comments from the last meeting included to add more depth to the sign, about 2 to 3 inches of some dimensional quality, and to also submit a sample of the metal material and the red color. And the applicant has done both, and we'll talk more about it.
Hello, members of the board. As we discussed last week, I added on the 3-inch to it to give it that sort of a border look to it and give it a little more depth. Talked with the client at length trying to get him to get us the metal that he is hoping to use. He has found these rusted pieces, which also helped to keep that rustic look that I think that was the main problem that you got, that we were really looking into, was keeping that rustic look. So he's found these, and there's no shine to them. They're matte, just like we had stated in the plans. And from what I can tell, well, from talking to him, that this is the type of metal he is planning to use in his sign.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board?
So it's going to be a cutout metal, and then you see the red behind
it? Yes, so the face of the sign is metal. The letters will be cut out, I think, either with laser or water saw, something of that kind. And then the red backer will be placed behind that, and that'll cause the letters to pop out from the metal itself.
Is there any lighting?
No.
Behind that?
It is not lit.
How about comments from the board?
I was just going to say I really like the choice of material and finally bringing it back to the original intent.
Yes.
Of the project in the first place, you know, for the signage to be consistent seems to make sense, so thank you.
Yes, and as per our discussions each time, I would let him know of, you know, the want to keep the rustic look that he has already sort of built with the design of his building. Mm-hmm. And so when he saw this, he automatically jumped at it, and as soon as he found it, he brought it back to me, and we made sure to bring it into you guys.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think you've come back with a nice material, and I can support this.
Mm-hmm. Dennis?
I appreciate the applicant's response to the board's suggestions. I truly hope that this is what we get, because this application was preceded by a facade treatment that was never realized. So
okay,
this is with somewhat trepidation that mm-hmm. what we approve isn't necessarily what we're going to get. So I truly hope that this is the stuff.
Well, as we discussed before, our signage company has been brought in to get the permitting. He will be manufacturing, but we have instructed him multiple times that whatever is approved by the board needs to be stuck to. He should not variate from the design that has been
Thank
approved.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Karis?
I only have one comment, which is maybe the and sign could be a little smaller, but that's not a sticking point for me.
Yeah.
So I'm okay for
that's approval. That's been brought up before as well.
It's bigger than everything else.
We discussed that with him, but that is actually his logo. It shows up on his website and on his business cards. So...
I'm okay with it.
All right.
Design-wise, I would take that down.
I have a motion, I think, for design approval.
I'll make the motion to approve the design as revised and submitted today.
All right.
Second.
Okay. All in favor then, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So E1, the applicant was not able to be here today, and
okay.
We think that they have addressed all of DRB's comments from your last meeting, your requests. So it's up to you whether you feel comfortable. If you review and feel that it's satisfactory,
well,
you can take action.
We've already seen this twice.
Yes.
And we've made our thoughts clear. So if they've addressed it, then...
Maybe Joe can just go over what they did do based on your comments.
Yeah.
Okay. Good afternoon. They have a request for design review for the America's Tire signage. As Mary mentioned, the applicant did go through and address the comments from the April 24th meeting. Looking at the comments, the first comment was in regard to framing the sign. Which they did here by providing the Tista sign to match the building.
Okay. What is that material that is framed in?
Looks like it's just an aluminum border. It's just painted to match the color from the building.
Okay.
And then in regard to the other comment was to reduce the height of the monument sign. They took from the original height that they had proposed at the first meeting was 6 feet, and they reduced it down to 5'7.5".
Has the shape changed as well, or was that the profile that we had before?
So what happened in the course of the meetings is at the first meeting it was 6 feet, and then when they changed the shape, they actually raised the height to 7.5. And then in coming back, they took it down in accordance with the DRB's original comment to the less than the 6 feet. So now that it's at the 5'7.5".
Okay.
And then they did change the face and the trim color. So now they are two distinct colors with the oak barrel perimeter and then the lightweight beige background. And then the last comment was just to keep the wall height letters at 20 inches, which they are currently at.
Okay. Any comments or questions from anybody on the board?
Well, I'll chime in here. So, Joe, if I understand the proposal now, the border is 3 inches deep, and the letters, this is the wall sign, of course, the letters are 5 inches deep. On one hand, I'm prepared to accept this change, and on the other hand, I'd appreciate others' thoughts if this doesn't look just a little bit crowded in the lettering that is inside the frame. So I'm prepared to accept this, but I would appreciate others' views that perhaps this is not exactly what we were looking for.
Well, if I'm not hearing from anybody else, I gotta say I'm thinking that it feels a bit, you know, it feels a bit crowded, especially when we look at the overall elevation and see how that fits with the rest of it. It would be nice if there was a little more room around the lettering, you know, around the outside of it.
I think it's the bold font that's fighting with the frame. If it were a lighter font,
I don't know. I don't think it's the. I don't think it's so much the font. It's the.
But.
Or a smaller size letter, which would be the same thing.
Yeah.
More space. More breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't there a facade on the top of this building when we approved the design?
Okay.
Yeah,
And the existing lettering is how high is this on the sign? This is.
The wall signs are at 20 inches.
Okay. Huh. Well, okay, and this gives an overall height of 2 feet 10 inches on sheet 9. And my own feeling is that it ought to get at least an inch top and bottom. Side this on the ends, it seems fine. But if we got an extra inch on the top and an extra inch on the bottom of space, I think that would it would look better. It wouldn't look so crammed in.
Mm-hmm. That's an easy fix.
Yeah. How's everybody else feel about that?
Again.
At right now, looking at sheet 9, where it has that shows the border in detail, I think the distance from the end of the lettering to the border on the sides is fine. But if they added an extra inch on the top and an extra inch on the bottom, so that the current frame height is 2 feet 10, if they made that 3 feet, I think it would give it a little more breathing room.
Where's the blow up? So,
if this dimension here,
yeah, increased by an inch,
were the same as that dimension?
No, just take this, increase it by an inch.
Just an inch.
And take that and increase it by an inch. If we look here, you'll see this dimension is 2 feet 10 inches. So if they add an inch of space there and an inch of space there, they get 3 feet. Not that that's a special magic number, but I think it'll give more breathing room at top and bottom there.
I like the idea of having the same side on the top all the way around. Like a nice frame, if you're good.
I think we'd probably end up close to that.
It'd be close to that. I think it'd be tough to figure out because the problem is on the side we got these scallops.
Yeah.
And over here, this is one, it would look much different if this was squared off all the way across. And I think if we took that space in top and bottom, it would start to look like it'd be a little more empty.
And as sensible as Aaron's proposal is, when you look at the entire facade, then the frame grows really large. On the elevation, sort of crowding out the space between below the windows and above it. So,
on the north elevation?
Well, both of them really. It's about the same condition. So perhaps Tom's suggestion of just adding an inch. See what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to. Start.
Either that or a reduction in the height of the letters. It might be the simpler thing to do.
If that's the scale, that's 3 inches. So, an inch isn't all that much.
Well, compared with what's there right now, okay, right now it looks like there's about 3 inches worth of space. Is there a scale on this?
I'm just going off that dimension, inches, about 3 inches.
Well, I'm just looking to see if I can. Well, this doesn't translate any particular scale.
Yeah.
I know, but it's not. This says half inch to the foot, but that does not scale at 2'10". This scales 2'4". And so this is not really when that got reproduced, it didn't come out to scale, but it looks like right now the space at the top and the bottom is 3 inches on both top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And if we increase each one by an inch, we're increasing it by each space by 33%. And I really do think just an inch on top and bottom would work wonders, and it would make the sign more readable, but it wouldn't impinge on the rest of the structure around it, the windows and whatnot.
Okay.
But would you do that by reducing the lettering?
No.
Just by increasing the size of the frame?
Yeah. So I'll make a motion then.
Well, I've got one other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And this might be a question for staff, but in this one they're showing a flag. And I've noticed as they put up flag poles, they end up getting used for advertising flags. So can we constrain what flag they're going to fly and, you know, that it's not just another piece of advertising, which, you know, it flutters, it's a moving sign under the guideline, and it seems like a loophole that's been exploited to get a moving sign.
I know for this application, they've only proposed to have the American flag as part of the signage.
Okay, so it's going to be a U.S. flag. And
yeah.
I'm guessing since they're America's tire, they'll probably leave it.
One would think, but we've seen stranger things. And then finally, can we actually make sure they maintain it so it doesn't look ratty? Is that something we can...
That's not really part of this application.
Right. Can we just maybe put it in the minutes that we'd like them to comply with the U.S. flag code? So it's when it's torn and tattered, it can go to the Boy Scouts or some organization that'll dispose of it properly. Yeah.
If there are no other comments, I don't want to stifle anybody here. I'm not trying to do that, but it seems like we're hitting a spot where maybe a motion might be in order.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Final approval with the staff conformance that the frame gets increased on the bottom and top of the font by 1 inch.
2 inches total?
2 inches total.
And can the chair second this stuff?
I'll
okay.
second.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I'll second the motion.
Very good. Thank you, Karis. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, can I have a vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
I'll vote nay.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, Madam Linda, can I get you to read, I guess it's item E4.
Item
E3 has been continued.
Item E4 is Zotto's signage and facade revisions. It's located at 5925 Cali Real, APN 069-110-051, case number 17-041-DRB.
All right. Oh, good. Okay.
Good afternoon. Just say we have a request for design review for the Zotto signage and revised facade improvements. So the applicant's proposing two new wall signs, which is related to the facade improvements, just why they're kind of coming back as one item. And under the current OSP, just kind of go through the reasons why we're here. There's a maximum of 32 square feet allowed. The applicants are allowed to have descriptor signs such as eat, drink, play, bowl as under the current OSP, but that square footage was to be included in the 32 square feet. So the applicant is proposing 43 square feet for the Zotto signs plus an additional 14.7 square feet for the eat, play, drink bowl, or play bowl.
Eat, drink, play bowl.
Yeah, close. And then revisions to that front awning, which is changing in color from the original as well as shape. And I have a original for you guys to take a look at as well. And then I'll hand it over to the applicant to walk you through the changes to the signage and the facade.
I got a quick question for staff. We've typically in the past have done signs or regular construction. But I don't think I've seen it where we have both at the same time. Is this?
We were trying to streamline this because okay. it's a facade.
It all goes before the same board.
Instead of coming twice for, yeah. I think, okay. also for continuity to look at the signage mm-hmm. with the facade changes.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so I'll talk about the signage, which is when I came in here a few years back and did our overall sign plan, mm-hmm. I didn't, along with.
Okay. I came along with a contractor that I'd hired, and I don't know how we ever got to 32 square feet. I think in what I've read, we've got 1782 square feet along our frontage, and 1/8 being allowable, that takes us to 222.75 square feet, which we would never want to use, so we're asking to up it by 50% roughly. And how a sign that makes sense. I do have an example of the sign showing you how it would look at the smaller size. And I just believe that that sign makes a whole lot more sense for the size of the building. So it would be an amendment to our overall sign plan? Yeah.
Basically what the situation is if it's not in compliance with the OSP, it's required to come before a design review board for approval. If it was in compliance with the overall sign plan, then it wouldn't need to come back before the board.
Got it. I got a question for you, Joe. If this was a building that being in Goleta where it is on Calle Real, if it did not have an OSP and was just going off the regular sign ordinance, how would this stack up? Would it be within the square footage or?
Yeah, it would be within. It's well 1/8.
Under. Yeah,
okay. It's the same it's well standard under. Of the 1/8.
Got it. All right. Well, let's open that up for questions from the board.
Yes, I have a question. Joe, does the square footage include both signs are we talking about? There's one over the entry door and then one on the sort of logo on the panel. So I'm confused about the square footages and what that includes.
So the two numbers that I gave you, I believe it was 43 is just for the Zotos, yeah. And then the 14.7 is for the eat, drink, play, bowl sign. So total, it would be about 60 or so.
Okay. Karis?
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Aaron?
So far back, I like the bigger one better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, likewise, revising the sign plan, if that's what we're doing, it still comes in under.
Yeah. Aaron?
Question, that material there, is that the sign face?
No.
Or is that
this
the facade?
This is to do with the facade, yeah.
Okay. How are the signs lit internally?
Yes.
Or halo?
It's not. I have some of both in the center, so.
So the Zotto sign, it's on your sign. Should be on the plans, yeah. Under the description. Zotto's is an open face channel letter. Mm-hmm. And then the Bowling and Beyond is a facelit channel letter. And then the Eat, Drink, Play Bowl is an edge lit acrylic letter.
Bob?
All right, thank you, Chair. I'm going to be approaching this from, a different perspective. Zotto's just set back far from Kyriel, and so I think the signage being larger than might, it would be appropriate for it to be larger than if this were situated right there at the curb. So I think the signage is fine. It's a good upgrade to the building and all. My concern is what is referred to as descriptor signs, and I'm just concerned that we're going to be seeing more and more descriptor signs. For me, the fact that it says Zotto's, which is the name of the establishment, and then Bowling and Beyond is descriptive enough. We don't need to have Eat, Drink, Play, and Bowl to further describe this additional disclosure of the services. To me, is excessive and unnecessary additional signage. I'm just concerned applicants looking to expand signage in this way by using descriptor signs that may be extraneous. So that's my concern. I think the rest of it is perfectly fine and appropriate and great. I just have concerns about descriptor signs, that this isn't needed in this situation.
Okay, thank you. I got a question myself, because I'm looking like there's a fair amount of difference in the signs that was presented to us as opposed to the sign which we're seeing right there. For instance...
It's all about color and color printers.
Well, no, it's a little bit more than that, because this has a border around it. This has a far more three-dimensional retro quality to it than that one.
That one also has a border. It's just hard to see based on how it's printed.
Okay.
Color printers are the bane of my existence. They're all different.
Okay.
So look at this one. It's better.
Good. Okay, that's what I was looking for. Is that the colors I had in that one, they're much more lively, and I was like, wow, this looks great, and then like, what happened? Well, I agree. I think that there's, you know, having a larger sign is not a problem, because again, it's the size of the building, and it's the distance way back on the property. I kind of agree with Bill, because we're not supposed to have descriptors. But then again, the building is so long, and you got the space for the Zotto's. It kind of fits where it is there, and you need something. It feels like you need something right over the entryway anyways.
But there's not enough height there.
Yeah.
To put the Zotto's logo right over the entry. Zotto's, Bowling and Beyond is our mark, our logo.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, Eat, Drink, Play, Bowl are descriptors, but what does Beyond mean? What can you do here? So it does kind of clarify all the things you can do.
You can come in and find out.
Yeah, true. But versus America's Tires, I think it's pretty obvious what you buy there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wouldn't go in there on a whim.
Right.
Whereas it would go in here on a whim. And have.
And have.
I was just going to chime in on that. The Eat, Drink, Play Bowl doesn't bother me there. Maybe it's the nature of the business. Maybe it's the facade, the way it's working.
My question is about whether or not descriptors are or are not allowed in the code. When we talked about Cajun Kitchen one or two meetings ago, we were told that it wasn't in the code to ban descriptors.
So this has an overall sign plan, and their overall sign plan does allow for descriptors, which came to the board in 2015.
It does allow for the descriptor then.
Yes, the overall sign plan does allow for it. It's just that when the square footage was calculated, it was that the 32 square feet included both descriptors and signage. Okay. And so when added together, there in this case, even on the loan. Okay. It was exceeding that.
So if I'm going to ask the question, if forgetting the OSP, if that didn't exist, would they be allowed?
No.
Descriptors are not allowed in the code?
No, not under the City of Goleta sign ordinance.
Mr. Chair, can I just chime in here?
Yes.
That is the course of if there's something that doesn't meet the code, an OSP can address other requirements that the board gets to review and approve.
All right.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just confused. I thought we walked away from the Cajun Kitchen discussion.
They didn't have an OSP.
Right. I'm saying so we were told, though, without an OSP, that the code did allow for it, did not constrain use of descriptors.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's what we were told. And now it's allowed under this OSP, but now we're being told if it didn't have the OSP, the code wouldn't allow it for something that's 300, 200 yards apart. So what does the code say, I guess, is where I'm confused.
To look back at that item.
Okay.
That's it for questions.
All right. Dennis? All right. Yeah, sure, if you'd like to, by all means.
I make a motion to approve the signage as is presented to us today.
Okay. So this is all being looked at together.
Okay.
So the facade, well, the changes to that front awning, okay, as well as the
signage.
Well,
it sounds like the board has a consensus on the sign, so then let's move to the renovation or remodel part of it then. So then when we make a motion, it'll cover everything. Okay, good.
It's the same.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Just leave that one. All right, okay. Colors are better. All right. So you want to, do they have an example of what we originally were approved?
So my name's Kirk. I'm a owner's rep here with the ownership at Zoda. Thank you. All right. Sorry. Did you hear that? Originally, when the drawings were first approved here via council, the entrance canopy here on the front elevation. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Right there.
This is the entrance canopy here at the front, and
excuse me.
Having conversations with the ownership, I guess you can see both of them here in the same shot now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Having some conversations with the ownership and going back and looking at the design and the desires of the ownership, we started rethinking the entrance canopy. The ownership's main goal with the entrance canopy was to, attract attention to the entrance of the bowling alley, and it didn't seem as though this original concept really grabbed that. So we started relooking at something that was a little more aesthetically appealing, A, and also that fit the rest of the design. So I read the minutes from all the meetings prior to getting this project approved, and we just thought that we could do a better job in keeping up with the Googie architecture than what was originally approved. So we went to work, we went back and did some, a lot of research on old school Googie bowling alleys and techniques, and we landed at this concept here, serving a couple of purposes. A, we brought the rain screen concept into the fascia, into the canopy that is all over the place everywhere else, which tied the design together, we thought, and also created a more grand entrance that was appealing for the customer coming here. And we used similar materials that we used. We used identical materials that we used to clad the rain screen with. We just took a different color scheme to make it stand out and pop. We landed on this wood grain finish because of a couple of factors. One of which is that there's a large majority of hardscape on the inside of this building, built-ins, bowling desks, shelving, trophy cases, that is all of the similar nature. So we figured that we're put a nice little necklace on the outside of the building that kind of tied the interior in together as well. So that was the thought process behind heading this direction.
Also, this is a shiny example. What we have is a matte. It's a flat finish.
Question I've had, because all I'm looking at here is just the front elevation. This canopy, how far does this extend out, or does it extend out?
Good question. It's 30 by 30 as we've redesigned it, so it's similar in nature to size as the other one.
Is it flush with the face of the building?
No,
with the party room, or to come out further?
Okay, I can show you a side elevation if you like.
Yes, please.
This would be looking at it from south to north. So that would be the return. I have extra copies here too if any of you folks want to look at it on paper.
And then the roof surface of this.
The roof surface, we're going to stick with the original, what was approved, which was a single ply 60 mil PVC.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's really, I know this is conceptual, but there's really not a lot of information here besides just, you know, a nice rendering of just straight on of the outside and then one side elevation. What happens on the inside surfaces of this? In other words, when you're walking underneath this canopy and you look up, what do you see up here? What do you see along the wall?
What you see under the canopy is reclaimed bowling lanes. We've replaced a lot of the bowling lanes because they do get worn after getting 16-pound mm-hmm. balls thrown at them. So we've set that aside, and we're going to clad underneath with that and replicate some of the gutters and the bumper caps with some half-round sheet metal.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it will look like you're under the bowling lanes, or your world spun upside down. And then the walls themselves will be either clad with the gray Thundermax or the windows to the party room.
Okay.
And that storefront is the last wood storefront we have on the center, and so that will be replaced with the current aluminum glazing.
Okay.
Yeah, and to further on that point, the reflected ceiling plan of the canopy, it mirrors what was approved originally. However, we went into further detail and actually showed how to build it. They described it in nature here on the original one, so we've come up with this plan to put it into action.
Okay. Well, I got some more questions, but I don't want to totally dominate this. I'm sure that other members have got questions. Please.
Yes, I do. I'm finding it hard to understand the elevation, so titled the East Elevation, when I especially don't have a plan. I don't understand what the glazing is under the canopy, nor the piece that's shown beyond it. So without a plan, I can't really understand what it is I'm looking at. Maybe
sure.
You have this plan here that would help.
Sure.
Get that under? Or?
If just so I'm clear on what we're talking about, is this the glazing you're...
That is.
Okay, so this glazing, if you're walking in the entrance of Zotos and you look off to your right, that's an existing glazing wall that's been there for a long, long time.
It was a card store and a Mac store out there, and it's been for the last 10 or so years the Zotos party room. It's right here. And then this is the Country Meat Market. Do you want me to get this under the light?
Yes, please.
Okay. Can you pick up?
Sure.
If you could put the elevation back underneath the plan. just to help clarify.
Okay. I don't understand on this drawing.
Okay.
What is this black piece, and where is that on the plan?
That is, there's a walkway here that's covered over with a canopy, I guess.
This portion here sticks out further than that.
Yeah, okay, so 8 feet high?
Yeah,
And there's a walkway underneath the overhang.
So
that's the corner of the overhang.
So this glazing is interior?
It's right here. And this is Zotto's party room, and this is Country Meat Market.
So this glazing you're asking about is this
right
wall
here.
Right here.
So you're standing at the Motel 6.
And is when you refer to this as a canopy, these doors here are back in
right
this
here,
wall
right
plane?
Here. Right here.
That's the entrance of the bowling alley.
Okay. And then I noticed that these windows have changed from the previous plan, along with some other details in the previously approved elevations. And my memory, please correct me, I thought it was cement panels, not plastic.
It was cementitious panels.
Yes,
and the price was prohibitive, and we got some negative feedback on how well it holds up in the long run.
Okay.
So the product that we ended up with is a phenolic material, which is actually the same material that our bowling lanes are made of. Mm-hmm.
Well, the spirit of the design is there, but the there's sort of the orchestration of the paneling has changed from those. So maybe you had those same questions, Tom.
Yes,
thank you for those clarifications. Mm-hmm. That was helpful.
Anybody else on the board with questions? I still have a few myself. Okay. One of the things I'm looking at the front elevation, and you've got this nice massive shape that comes across here and down, and you've got the kind of an angle there which kind of echoes with what's on the back, and it totally fits with the Googie architecture, obviously. But when I look on the side, I'm wanting to see something similarly beefy somewhere on the side, and all
right.
I see is just thin panels.
Yes.
I think because it ties into the building about here, you can't see that on your screen, but it ties, it doesn't come out as far as the face of this building.
Uh-huh.
It comes out to about here.
Can
so we have it tied in
can
to
I ask,
that part
can
of
I
the
ask,
building?
Can I ask why? Because, I mean, just gut reaction visually looking at this. I just automatically assumed that this stood proud of everything along here. So I would have expected that canopy actually to come out around here somewhere.
And have a column or a leg that comes down and
it
touches the ground,
mass.
Which you don't see in the east elevation.
It needs the mass there.
Yes.
It has the masses here. It just doesn't have it here.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
What you show here is this shows a fairly thick, nice, it presents a real nice appearance out front.
And that's here.
But when you look from the side.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah, it's thin. It's just.
It's gone.
It's just sitting like, from the front it looks like that. From the side it looks like this.
I'm not showing it clad.
Well, so you're saying is that if I'm understanding you correctly, you'd be interested in seeing this depth here on the return as well.
Well, I'd be interested in seeing this, how this shape angles out and does this taper here. Something similar going on here, where maybe it either comes straight down here and then tapers back,
or maybe
tapers a little bit outboard.
There isn't a column here because this the cladding. Cladding ties into the building, but what I'm, are you saying that you wanted the depth and girth of that, the fascia to wrap around? Because the cladding only goes around two sides.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's not our purpose to design the stuff for
right.
you.
No, No, we're having trouble interpreting the drawings. The drawings say one thing on one elevation and another, so they don't agree. That's what we're trying to get at.
I think, are you talking about this piece right here?
Yes.
So you're thinking that this is just one panel thick?
That's what it looks like.
Okay.
It disappears on the...
There's actually, based on engineering, there's a pole in there, so we need to clad the pole around and make a square box.
Okay, so where's the pole in the east elevation?
The pole is...
Not that elevation, that one. Where is the pole?
It's a lot smaller. You see this little bit of brown right here? That's a piece of clad.
Okay. That's clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it will have weight to it on four sides because we have to clad the pole.
Well, it'll be nice to see it.
No, I get it now. I get it now.
Seriously, that's what you were seeing, was that this was very thin right here.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. It wasn't like a box holding it up, waiting. And it will be.
Well, it'd be nice to see it.
Well.
I mean, you can see it if you kind of look at it in perspective, kind of a perspective.
Yeah, right.
We've got this element here.
Yep.
And we got the front of this part here coming across, and the door's in there, and this part here. But, you know, we need to see something. You know, maybe another angle coming back or something. But, you know, something to it.
Didn't it go away at one point?
Well, at one point, we had come back, and we've gone through a number of gyrations with the design of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good drawing, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And quick. We actually have a set of engineered drawings that really show it in a lot of detail. I just didn't bring them in here this afternoon.
Well, we can't very well even do, I mean, if we don't know what we're looking at, we really can't make a decision on it, can we?
Mr. Chair, can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
It sounds like the board is ready to take action on the sign and
yes.
Perhaps continue this item.
Okay.
For the facade to your next meeting.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was heading to.
No, I understand it. I'm ready to make a decision on it.
Okay.
Well, may I offer a suggestion while I'm here? I'm prepared to answer almost any question you have about the canopy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad that Member Whalen is clear on it, and because I am not.
I think you drew it accurately.
Chair, I did have one question, and it has to do with the.
That's different from not understanding.
Yeah.
It just has to do with the planters. I just noticed from, you know, this is kind of a minimalistic presentation in terms of what we received as board members. And a lot of it just is left to the capabilities. Unfortunately, we've got some capable people that are able to read this in more depth than what's actually presented. But just in terms of the landscaping or the vegetation planter box, is there going to be anything other than the palm tree that's in front of these wall spaces? Or was that already previously approved
when
we looked at this and nothing's changing?
At every pillar, there is a planter box, a multi-height planter box that will be planted with that Mexican fire stick or whatever, and kangaroo paws in oranges and yellows to go with the sign. So I don't know if you can see them here. They're pretty small. They're hard to see, but... I may have a photo on my phone.
make a comment.
Okay.
I think it'd just be helpful if you came, if you already have three-dimensional drawings, if you came back with those, it would be really helpful to understand the proposal and any details like the landscaping, just, you know, more information on that.
So. It's going to hang you up a few weeks on...
Well, Chair, I'm going to go out on a limb here, sort of a test flight, and make a motion to approve these changes as proposed. We'll see where that goes.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Okay.
Is there any way this, like we've done in the past, this can be subject to having the actual three-dimensional plans come back and have somebody, a designee of the chair, to look at it to make sure it's a conformance rather than just saying we believe it, and though we haven't seen it?
Yeah, I think so. Dennis, would you mind if we designated you?
That'd be fine.
Okay. Based on, okay, so based on that, I guess we'll call for a vote then.
Chair, did that include signage?
This includes signage.
The proposal as proposed, all portions as we saw today.
Okay, so all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And one abstention.
Abstention or no?
Pardon me?
Abstention or a vote no?
I'll vote yes.
leave it in Dennis's hands.
I'll release your arm now.
And you'll check the landscaping too.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, staff will give you my contact information.
Announce the next item.
Item F1 is conceptual review. It's the Providence School facade and site improvements located at 5383 Hollister Avenue, APN 071-140-075, case number 17033, DRB.
Okay. And something I forgot to ask with the previous one is declarations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, and I spoke with the applicant sometime last year.
Mm-hmm. Site visit, no ex parte.
Sort of site visit, no ex parte. I drove by there today trying to find it.
And for myself...
Yeah, I drove around, and I think I saw little pieces that I recognized from the pictures. But.
And no site visit, no ex parte for myself. Okay, Daryl.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the DRB.
There you go.
5385 Hollister Avenue. Today we're here for a conceptual review for a new middle/high school use at the proposed location. So the applicant is proposing building and site improvements associated with the project. Building improvements would be to the 21,408 square foot building. It's located kind of on the southern portion of the property. Additional site improvements would include some new ramping, some new accessible walkways, ADA parking spaces, some proposed new lighting, some minimal landscaping, some restriping of the parking areas, kind of a new gathering kind of social place at the south elevation of the building, as well as on the very southern portion of the property, a new athletic field. This would be synthetic turf, you know, for various events and games, etc. So this is for a conceptual review, and the applicant's wishing for some conceptual comments, you know, as they move forward in the process. In terms of our permit process, this is a development plan amendment, so they're proposing to amend the development plan with this new use and improvements. As of right now, the application is deemed incomplete, so the city has asked for more information, and we'll be getting that sometime in the future. But for today, they're just looking for some conceptual comments and some opinions of the DRB members. With that, I want to introduce you to the agent for the applicant. It's Heidi Jones, and she's from Susan Ellidge Planning. So I'll kind of move it over your way. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. Hi, Heidi Jones with Susan Ellidge's office, agent for the applicant, Providence School. As Daryl mentioned, we're in the process of the change of use development plan amendment application process, which a lot of pieces to that, but we thought we could move forward with this piece and get some initial feedback while all the other pieces are in motion. Just a couple of things to clarify that weren't mentioned. We don't have any landscaping proposed as part of this project and change of use. The existing landscaping is to remain. We do have a couple tree removals that are required in this location for the ADA pathway improvements. That's pretty much it. So we will have a landscape plan prepared as part of our incomplete item, but it will be really essentially documenting everything that's existing on site for right now. And we'll run through, we'll have Brian Poliquin walk through the proposed facade improvements and get your comments. Thank you.
Also rendering with the package.
Mm-hmm. It's in the back.
Three dimensionals too. So this was part of the old Pacific Technology Center, PTC. This is the southernmost building. It's an old tilt-up building. It was basically a lab building, a bunch of punch-out windows and some kind of simple forms and shapes, pretty nondescript building. So what we did is we tried to add some architecture to create some overhang, identify a sense of entry. There's also we have a roll-up door for access to the lab space. Just some different access points, but mainly we tried to dress up the architecture to give it more of a give it some style, essentially, and give it the appearance of it's a new forward-thinking building as opposed to an old tilt-up building, and also, again, give some overhang to the walkway and some screening for mechanical equipment. So what we did is you can see this overhang element that we've ran along, and we did a series of shapes and forms to create some movement with the building. We used some materials including Core 10 panels. It's a thin Core 10 panel that will age and give that rust color. We also used some vertical siding, kind of a nice precision wood paneling in this area. And the reason why we use these materials to create some warmth against, you know, an otherwise fairly simple building that's all concrete, and also create some, you know, diversity in the facade. We have a couple of signage elements on the facade to identify it as Providence School, and we did some red columns to create a little bit of liveliness along the walkway, and that's pretty much it. You can see the mechanical units have been ghosted in, and I'll go over to the three dimensionals, which hopefully will help get a better clarity on the building. So we have the wood insets in this overhang. Okay. The overhang I would anticipate would either be metal stud frame and a smooth hartrell stucco, or do it in a metal, like an architectural smooth metal. Either one, I think, could pull off the right shape and form and get the smoothness that we'd want. And then you can see in the insets in the back areas, we have the Core 10 on the corners, the Core 10 underneath the overhang, the wood on the inside legs of the overhang, And all the, what I think it's going to do nicely is it's going to create a nice shadow line. It's going to create some a shaded walk space and weather-protected walk space, and also give the building a whole new feel, a whole new identity. You can see the vertical, the columns that we're using to basically support the overhang, but also create some color. And I think that pretty much, I think the renderings pretty much speak for themselves. We're using a silver mullions, you know, and doing a little bit of adding some horizontals. I think the original windows didn't have that, and so we added a little bit of that just to create a little more detail to the building. The building is only three-sided, so we're not, the back side faces into the back area of the property. We obviously, you can see the materials, the core 10. We use an architectural metal siding. That's for the screen above. So instead of kind of the vertical screen, we use a horizontal, probably an ATAS metal product, which is a nice quality architectural product. I think that pretty much does it for that. I think we also have a fence that we, or do we want to?
Yeah.
Do you want to address that at all?
I just will mention, this will come back to you in our next round. We have been actively coordinating with the fire department, as well as some comments that were in our incomplete letter from Public Works, as well as the desires of the property owner and Providence School to fence the site. So we're looking at proposing a 6-foot tall vertical square tube fence with some rolling gates here at the point, the entry point off of Patterson, as well as these entry places. Right. And then we're looking at an alternative access point with a gate onto Moore Road. That's still in the feasibility stage, but that will all come back to you. But a heads up, you'll see a fence next time.
So in that gate, I talked kind of more like the tube, vertical tube. It's not a chain link we're proposing. So probably be a 4-inch wide so, you know, a child can't stick their head in between it and all that sort of good stuff. The rolling gates would probably be controlled by a Knox box so fire department could have access in the event of an emergency. So that's pretty much it. Probably painted black or dark gray. Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions? Were you part of the presentation, sir?
Just the head of school.
I see. So let's open this up to questions from the board. Start with Bill.
Thank you, Chair. This is a concept review, so I tried to, in my site visit, get a feel for this. This is one of the more obscure places in Goleta, and I've never been back there, so it's very interesting to see the whole area back there. Just a clarification, the school only encompasses the southernmost building.
Correct.
Okay. And with concept review, I guess we can pretty much cover a lot of different points here, so I'm just going to be moving back and forth in no particular order. Are there proposals for new windows, or there's just going to be window treatments or a combination of both?
I would suspect we'd do new windows, new window and frame, because we'd probably want to get better energy, so we'd use a dual pane window system.
What are the hours of operation of the school?
8 to 3.
Do you ever have any after-school activities or the need to have any nighttime activities since you have, we'll have a turf field?
Maybe some night practices. It depends on what athletic teams we add over time and that sort of thing.
I notice you have that grass area, and you're looking to sort of upgrade that as sort of an assembly area or a gathering area or something like that?
That would be a sports field area, primarily for recess, sporting events, games, practices.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah, and I was talking about the one that's right outside the building itself, where there's actually turf there.
I think that'll just be probably an assembly area, and they do drop off. People will be able to walk around it. We hadn't really thought of using it as a specific assembly area, but
I was just going to say, would you ever consider night illumination for events, or you'd be hosting school events in the evening at your facility and consider something like that?
Not likely. We do have some proposed fixtures on the facade of the building, and then we'll be looking at adding in some lights for the sports field for future practices or games, but that would be pretty much it, other than for safety and security.
And as I was doing my site visit, I noticed there's pretty much a hedge that between the new proposed artificial turf field and the parking lot. So I'm wondering how people actually have direct access from the school if they're going, getting out at recess or they're going out for PE or whatever, so that they're not just wandering, meandering through the parking lot and have designated areas to get through to the new sports field.
That would be removed and adjusted.
Yeah, we would look at the, how that circulation would work, and ideally when school's in session, the cars that would be there would be staff, perhaps designating some staff parking spaces during those business hours so that there is an adequate path of travel to and from the sports field for recess and whatnot would be a good idea, to something to designate.
And out on the side, I noticed there were a few pretty nice skyline eucalyptus trees that really help give a sense of more than just tilt-up buildings out there. And also that those massive shade trees, I don't know what those were, right next to the building on the southern exposure, that really are root-bound and not necessarily particularly attractive. And just wondering if there's ever consideration, no one likes to be removing trees, but those might be nuisance trees at some point, of removing those, which would then allow for the solar exposure on your large flat roof, which would be excellent for photovoltaics. I know a lot of schools are now using photovoltaics in their operations. And then I guess about the parking lot, if you're looking to do any kind of additional lighting, I noticed there's a few sort of cobra-like lights out there that look kind of industrial in nature. And also the plantings in the parking lot, I'm not sure if there's new calculations that have to be made in terms of after X number of spaces, there has to be a vegetated planter, and just wondering, as I went out there, it looked like if that is the case, it would be deficient. And then my last question has, or point is, when people are coming to the school, which way do they come in or leave? Is it on Moore? Is it on Patterson? Is it on
Patterson
Mentor?
Avenue. Patterson.
Okay.
The primary ingress and egress would be Patterson Avenue. We would be looking to have that additional access that we're exploring into private Moore Road for fire departments. Emergency access only.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments.
Aaron, do you have any questions or comments?
Only question is what trees are being removed? Are they the podocarpus?
Another plant that
really, the driving force for this removal is the needed upgrades for accessibility, path of travel, and then having the overhang that's proposed for that.
What species of trees? Do you know?
Ash, did we? I don't have my project description right in front of me. Can I see your project?
Are they these trees here? So
there are 12 fern pine trees.
Podocarpus, okay.
Yeah.
Was it?
My only comment is that it's obviously an improvement to what's there and been there. I will go along with Member Shaler too about considering PV in the future as the shade opens up. And as always, put in a plug to consider gray water for the landscape off of the basins.
Could you explain the ADA path of travel in a bit more detail and how that drives the removal of the trees?
Well, it's just we built or designed an overhang over this area. The ADA travel comes from Patterson, comes across through the parking lot, providing equivalent facilitation from a public street to get to the administration building and school building, and we had several entries along the building. You can see there's several doorways that require access, and so we have the sidewalks essentially going to each of those access points, and the trees interfere with those access points. As well as they're very, very close to the building.
Now
the trees that aren't close, that aren't as close to the building, we're leaving those intact.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's some pretty nice substantial sized trees there. They're going to create mm-hmm. some pretty good shade. So we're leaving those alone. We do have to have an area so that we can build the overhang, we can build a sidewalk, and we can do the improvements on mm-hmm. the building.
Well, the plans reflect your ambitions very well. But when I visited the site, I was struck by the remarkable collection of trees on the site. These are some of the most beautiful and mature Podocarpus, I think it's Griseliar, that I've seen that are probably in the Goleta Valley. And I'm wondering, at a conceptual level, if you would please consider less architecture and more a modest building that was in a forest of trees, because it's you just have an astounding legacy of landscape here. They could also provide the shade that the architecture is looking to replace. Now, I realize that every architect wants to make architecture, but in this case, I think the building might just defer to the landscape in a very simple and uncomplicated fashion. I don't have any expert notion about how close they are or what your exiting requirements are for the ADA, but I would encourage you to save those trees as much as you could. And to echo another comment of Member Sheeler's, the proposed playfield says turf here, but in the description it said artificial turf. I would really encourage you to strongly investigate what that material is. I work at the university. We have many of these fields, and they're not all they're cracked up to be. They will retain, they look green, and you'll be able to use them for a long time. They require special care. You have to buy a special, almost a Zamboni machine to clean them. You can't take any food or drink on them. And they don't smell very nice. And you will find very quickly that your classrooms fill up with the little particle material. This also isn't quite, I would say, about 30% too small for a regulation soccer field, with the understanding that soccer fields comes in all different sizes. And then to echo Member Sheeler's comment about crossing the asphalt to get to the play field, if that parking, and it looks like there's a lot of parking, could be reconfigured so that the green space in front of the school connected with that play field, you might be able to turn the play field alternately as it wears out, so you could have the most worn part of a soccer field are around the goals and the nets. And you could alternate it east, west, north, south, as you just are limited to one field here. So I do think it would be wise that in this premise or concept that it's a landscape building, that the soccer field tie into the rest of this assembly of landscape here. And just quickly to the interior, I'm sure you'll do your due diligence. It looks like there might be some exiting problems with the interior layout. I was troubled, though, by the classrooms on the north side where the students are, look out on this really sad and forlorn fenced-off spot rather than the headmaster of the school and the admissions. They all have the nice views out there. I would think that you'd want to give your students as much of an advantage to seeing the outdoors and enjoying the setting rather than being in the back of the building. Let's see. I think I got clear on what the front elevations, north, south, east, and west are. But really, that's just my conceptual comment, is that you look a little more deeply about what the building could be as a neutral building in the landscape and build on that existing collection of trees.
Thank you for your comments.
And echo everybody's comments because they're all good. What everybody said. Okay, let's start with public walkways and public after-hours use of your proposed field. Were you intending that your fence would fence in the entire field, so it would not
Correct.
Be open to the public at any point?
Yes, it would be surrounding the entire site area.
Okay, and your fences in and out then would come across the field here to be
kind of in this area here as well as on the other side, and then potentially if we are able to secure an additional location. Thank you. My pencil's a little small. Over Moore Road.
Okay.
We're looking into the feasibility of that as an option.
Okay. And have you guys thought about a drop-off path where
yes.
people...
Part yeah. of our incomplete item is to develop a circulation plan that will describe queuing and drop-off, et cetera. And initially, that's still in concept review. It would something like this. And we're still looking into all of that. The tricky part of this application is we are working with an existing development plan. So we have to not only consider access and circulation for this piece, but as part of the site as a whole. Mm-hmm. At some point in the future,
yeah.
In a separate application, we are going to have a lot split. Application will this week will become its own parcel. And at that point in time, there may be some improvements proposed or that make a little bit more sense for the circulation.
Yes,
so we're kind of playing a balancing yeah. game right now to get the change of use application processed. Okay.
Your drop-off right now is right at the very entrance, so that means that everybody who's waiting to drop off their kid is going to be in line for all these people who want to get past you.
Right.
So you might want to pull your drop-off as far away as you can
okay.
and have a way that they can then get into the school directly from the car,
mm-hmm.
usually from the passenger side at junior high school level, rather than having them have to walk across where everybody's going to be driving mm-hmm. at the same time.
Thank
and
you.
If you have it long enough, people will just drop off their kids all the way along it. And
mm-hmm.
then you have 16 people dropping off instead of one at a time.
Right. Thank you for that
which
suggestion.
Makes a lot way in. So that was the public walkway after I used. New landscaping. Yes, the fields. You want to be looking at your... the classrooms and cleaning them and trying to get up all those little things. Also, your grading plan is just consider your grading in terms of your flow now if you're dropping off kids where you're sending all of the water, because it's all hard surfaces, it's all going to go somewhere, right? And
mm-hmm.
so you don't want to be dropping them off in the big puddle because no one's going to want to do that.
Right.
So their kids are going to try to jump out before that, and then your whole flow is sort of messed up.
Our civil engineer sitting right there, so he can hear you.
Oh,
thank
there you.
You
go. Sorry, dude. yeah, I mean, you took the whole grading all to the back of the field, right? And you put two drains in there. So, I mean, you guys are going to obviously work on this and,
mm-hmm.
and change it up a bit. New landscaping, is there going to be any new landscaping?
No new landscaping proposed.
No new landscaping proposed, okay.
The site, as it currently exists, again, balancing the existing site, looking at it as a
yeah.
parcel as part of the existing development plan, meets the minimum landscaping requirements. So we're trying to do as little on the ground that we can do to get the change of use, get the school occupying the building as soon as possible, trying to keep the process as simple as possible and touching as least amount we can on the ground for right now.
So when I first saw your pictures with the red, the beams coming up, and I don't know which one's the architect, I'm looking
yeah.
at you. I really like it. I really like how it makes the building look, and I'm it's interesting, and it's engaging, and it's great for kids, and I think that's cool. Until I found out that all these old ancient Podocarpuses are there. So now I'm wondering if we couldn't maybe come up with some of the newer, paving things that will get you up off of the root system so that you can still have the access that you need
mm-hmm.
and keep those big old trees. As soon as they're not there for shade, that whole building is just going to turn into an oven as far as I could. I mean, I know this area and it's
mm-hmm.
surrounded by asphalt and things. And you just can't get trees like this.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. So maybe you can still get the walkway, and maybe you can integrate some of those shade ones around them or something to catch the leaves if it's the leaves that's bugging everybody. Or
We'll explore what we can do to navigate around.
Yeah, integrate
the root, the trunk, like you say, if you did an interlocking paver or something like that, so you could allow more.
Yeah, to
little
pull
bit
it
of movement.
Up.
As far as the architecture, I can adjust the architecture,
and
it,
really liked
it down
it.
And create a sense of entry.
Yeah,
we just want to give them
something.
I agree. It's the landscape; those trees are old and they're mature, and that is a nice element. There obviously there's some fruit issues and some dropping issues that are also a nuisance, which get on the roof and damage photovoltaics, anything like that, mechanical equipment. But, we can explore that. Mm-hmm. And as far as the architecture, I can shift the architecture around. This is more of a direction, a style that we'd like to use, which is using the wood and the 410 and, having something that's kind of floating along the roof line to kind of take your eye off. The building's I agree that.
I like the strong verticals too.
Yeah,
changing the angles a little bit.
And maybe we shift the architecture over to one side. Maybe we have the architecture come outward.
Or even pull it in front of the trees, and then start taking some of your.
Too, because it really is more of a walkway covering than it is anything else. That was the idea, was to get a covering so that people would have sun protection.
Yeah, and you're going to put benches and
exposure. So, maybe we can work around the trees.
And benches and lunch areas
that
kind of thing.
Yeah,
so maybe they can all be.
There'll be things that want to be a little bit covered and protected.
Racks.
So yeah, we're. I think the nice thing about the comments is if you like the style or kind of the general architectural direction, we can adjust that. That's not set in stone, but at least we get a feel for kind of like where we're going. If yes, then we keep going. If the trees are an issue, then that's something we'll discuss and explore.
Yeah, maybe we can.
That's why this is conceptual, so we're not that far along.
Along that thought, perhaps the covered walkway disengages from the building, allows for the trees and some folded plate or some sort of interesting gesture that allows the building to just recede into the shadows with some paint and very little work. You also might carve into it at these entry points to give it some depth and some announcement of an entry point. The trouble with these buildings is you never know where the front door is.
Well, if you look at the renderings, we did create a pretty significant front door element. We did it more superficially because when you start to cut these old tilt-ups open, you start to mess with their lateral systems, and it gets more and more expensive. And we're trying to be a little bit conservative about spending the school's money on things that we know we maybe can solve in other ways. That's all. So, but I appreciate the comments are valid.
If you pull it out too, if you pull it out into this area, and then maybe you can have an element somewhere here that then ties the field back in, or
you can mirror
the crosswalk or somehow.
You could kind of have fun with creating some.
Could be phased in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments.
This is a very ambitious project and very interesting. I commend you for going in at this project.
Thank you. It's unbelievably difficult to find a site for a school.
Yeah.
Unicorn.
Yeah.
Oh. Good luck. Did you?
Thanks, Chair. I did actually have one last question for staff. Just for clarification, it was indicated that the site meets the minimum landscaping requirements, so there wouldn't be any requirement for any planting islands in the parking lot, or that would be looked at when they come back with a circulation plan. Isn't there a number of parking spaces?
Yeah,
where
there is
a ratio.
Yeah. It's in the parking regulations. I believe it's every 4 to 6 spaces they need to have an island. We'll take a look at that again. Okay.
When they said maybe no new landscaping, that may not be necessarily true just because they've met the minimal landscaping requirement. There may be need to be some in a reconfigured parking.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that when they submit their other materials of submittal.
I didn't get a chance to make any comments. I'll be quick. Architecture, I think it's going in the right direction. I think materials are great, style's good. The I have a differing opinion about the podocarpus than my colleagues. I think they might be the worst tree ever grown in the nursery trade, is my opinion of them. And I can support you removing the trees you're proposing to remove. Maybe you save one or two or three specimens in there. That might be another option. But I have those trees a half block from my place, and they drop so much fruit, and they don't allow any sunlight in. They're basically just green blobs. And so that's just my opinion of those trees. Wherever you're, whatever direction you go with this area, if you're going to remove all the trees, then I would want to see a landscape plan here that involves some new trees. Or if you keep the trees, maybe the existing landscape can stay. But I think you need some sort of landscape plan for, there's obviously some areas that are going to get disturbed, so that need to be re-landscaped. So that's my comments. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm going to make a stab at a motion, see what everybody thinks about
we
it.
We don't need a motion.
What's that? Oh, okay. My
Thank
mistake.
You. Thank you for your time.
And that's it, then. Thank you.
Green blobs. Yes, I believe that is the Latin term for green blobs.
I think we're ready now for item G1.
Item G1 is advisory review. It's road improvement project for the Equal Street, Fowler Road, and Hollister Avenue, case number 04121 DRB.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to introduce Ms. Laura Bridley in case some of the members don't know her. She is our contract planner for, and she's doing a lot of the public works projects that involve planning. So she'll be representing this project.
Sorry, is that better? This has been a number one capital project for a long time, and we've got Gerald Kamati, who's a project manager for the Public Works Department, and also David Black, our landscape architect. Your board last saw this in 2011, and we have gotten local approvals from the city of Goleta. We've gotten approvals from state and federal agencies that have jurisdiction over it, and we're in process with the Coastal Commission now for a development permit. There was a recent change last year in 2016 to actually drop off a portion of Fowler Road, and I can have Gerald explain that more. But essentially, we're here for, you know, an update to you so you know what it's coming along with, and we spared you the dozens and dozens of engineering drawings, so we have primarily photographs of spec sheets and the landscape plans by Mr. Black. So with that, maybe Gerald can give a background.
Happy to be here. Okay. So I'm not going to say too much more. David's really the man of the moment, I think. But Equal Fowler has been around for some time, over 10 years. The city assumed the project from the county when they were incorporated. We're at about 95% design right now, well into right-of-way acquisition. We've got a little bit more to do, and as Laura indicated, well into permits, and we've secured some of them. We're still fighting to get the rest of them. And construction will probably not be occurring until early 2019. The unique part of the project is actually two projects. There's the Equal Fowler project, which is how it's termed, which actually consists of two streets. So we're constructing one Fowler Road, one Equal Street, and then improvements at Hollister Avenue with two roundabouts on either side of 217. And in the middle of Hollister Avenue, we've also got a separate project, which is the Hollister Avenue Bridge replacement. It's existing Hollister Avenue Bridge over San Jose Creek. You're probably familiar with it. next to Sizzler, what used to be the Sizzler building. So that project is a separate project, but it's going to be constructed at the same time as the Equal Fowler project, mainly because it's an efficiency of construction, especially on Hollister Avenue. We don't want to disrupt the public twice, and it's right in the middle of it. So today we're actually bringing information to you on the kind of combined projects of the Equal Fowler plus Hollister Avenue Bridge. And unless there's specific questions for me on kind of overview, I'll hand it over to David.
Yep. Okay.
And yep. I'm sorry, just we provided some color copy, 11 by 17s of the plans and color copies of the spec sheet, so that should allow David to go through them, at least with one set.
Which I don't have, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, maybe you can use one of the because that was.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna start out with the landscape, which, you know, I do have a full size copy of. So, but I'll have that. Okay, good. So, this presentation will be divided up into three parts. One will just be I'll go over all the landscape that's being proposed for Hollister, Equal, and Fowler first, and then we'll talk about proposed lighting for all those streets. And then also we have like to show you a proposed option for the bridge railing for Hollister at Hollister, and go from there. That's sort of the extent, I think, of the presentation. So. Well, you all have copies of this, so again, the way the drawings are presented, this is the overall scheme for Hollister at the 217. You can see it's made up of two roundabouts, splitter islands on either side. Oh, sure. And we've pretty much, if you follow, I'm sure the landscape people will be interested in this. But so, here, you know, here's the palette of plant material that's being proposed. Both roundabouts, actually, all the roundabouts are we're looking at using lefostamine, the old Tristania Conferta. You know, some I want to get some verticality against the 217, and then we're also using. I should point out too that many of the planter areas, the parkway areas, and in some cases the splitter islands have infiltration units in them. So I just brought this along because anywhere you see this light blue, that's all infiltration. So as a result of that, we're using, you know,
what. Big somehow.
Can you enlarge this on the camera?
Can you zoom in, Mary?
Yeah.
Can you center it?
Yeah.
Where's the center?
Where it's lit. There we go. Needs to still come farther.
Well, I just wanted to show it to you in passing, but just to illustrate that there are some areas that whose function is infiltration. So as a result of that, you'll see over much of the project the use of grasses in the parkways and some of the medians, bioretention type plant material. So, and that's the reason for that. And then also, you'll see we are making use of sort of an inert ground cover, i.e., sort of our stone cobble. And of course came up with this in the heat of the drought and felt like it was, you know, it's permeable, it's no water, no maintenance. And I think it has an attractive look. This was actually taken, this is at the roundabout in Las Positas and Cliff Drive in Santa Barbara. It just opened yesterday. At any rate, so by way of explanation, that's what's shown on these drawings. So I don't know how important it is to actually go through every sheet, but
there are some areas. This is north of the roundabout where the off ramp is, and here's Dearborn Place next to the. Let's see. We do have an opportunity for trees on the east side of the 217. These splitter islands do not have infiltration, so we're able to use some variation in palets and agaves and grasses and what have you. But and then these trees, the pistache and quercus, the island oak. Anyway, so that's that, and then. This is Equil. So this is the extent of Equil with a single roundabout in the middle there, as you can see. And then most of the planting is just, short of the roundabout itself, is just these parkway strips, and they're all infiltration. So, we pretty much have Carex divulsa throughout. And in some cases on the perimeters, we're using deer grass, Muhlenbergia regens. But we don't have opportunities for trees in the parkway because of the infiltration. So, we just have like a foot or two of cover and then a rock underneath that. So that doesn't give us really an opportunity. Here's the roundabout. You can see we're using the stone cobble. And then the grasses on the perimeter parkway areas, and then this is all planted out with a cobble border around it. So it's all meant to be low water, as you might expect. So, and then this is actually farther west. This is a bioswale area, but what we're proposing at this location is not containerized plants, but a sort of a bioswale, non-irrigated hydroseed mix here. So that'll be throughout here. We have irrigated plantings on the sides, the deer grass and the carex on the parkway.
That's on the east side.
I'm sorry? That's on the east side. Oh, yeah, east side. Sorry. You're right. We're still on Equil, so, and then it goes all the way out. Yeah, that's the limit of the work here. So you can see the plant material and more bioswale. These are two match line sections, but so the planting is really limited to these parkways areas. Hopefully, there'll be opportunities for trees to be planted on the private parcels. But and then this is the extent of Fowler. The planting on Fowler Road, and again, it's at the west end. It used to go through, but it's been modified, so now we just have this cul-de-sac element at School Bus Lane, and so limited planting here. It will be irrigated, and then, as it turns out, this bioswale area is going to be I'm showing it as hydroseed here, but now it's been determined that it's going to be a restoration area per the Coastal Commission. So it'll all be containerized material, be working with AECOM to develop a plant pallet, and it'll be irrigated temporarily, as part of this project.
Maybe I'll just step in quick. I didn't mention why we have a cul-de-sac here as opposed to Fowler going all the way through to Fairview, which is the original scope. Due to state funding shortfalls last year, the state was looking for taking money away from projects, and this project was one of the regionally state-funded projects, and so they decided to chop off a bit of the project. In sequence with this, the city was having an issue with the encroachment of the rest of this road within the airport protection runway zone. And that was going to be a long-winded fight with the FAA, which we suspected we may not win. So because of that, the city said, okay, well, we'll just chop it off here for now. and leave it at that. The remainder of Fowler Road is still a CIP project, but it's out in the future, and a lot of things have to happen for that to actually get built, specifically the airport problem. But, yeah.
I'd like to transition then to proposed lighting, both for Echo Fowler and then Hollister.
Mr. Chair, if I could just interrupt, would the board like to comment?
Questions?
Like after each component, in this case, landscaping?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. Let's go to the comments and questions here with the landscaping component.
Okay. Yeah. I think it looks fantastic so far.
Thank you.
The only thing I would ask is, would you consider using the native Carex
Tulicola?
That's the same one. Sorry.
Okay, because they're DeVulsa, splitting out and saying the DeVulsa is actually a...
It's the native variety that we're proposing. So,
okay.
But
so
thanks
you
for
will,
bringing that up.
You will put that one in.
We should rename it there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And one engineering question and one landscape question. When I look at the Hollister 217 roundabouts, could you explain how the bike path works with that? Because my memory is there are striped class 2 lanes on the eastern side of that intersection. What happens to them, to the bicyclists, when they get into these circles?
Right, it's the conventional design accommodation for bikes and peds when you go through the roundabout. So as you go on the approaches on Hollister, there'll be class 2. Let me see if we can find the exact location.
You want sheet L24.
L24.
Yeah, okay. So there you are. So here we are coming down Hollister.
So we're on, I think we actually...
Westbound on Hollister. L25 is...
Let's see, this is Hollister, Dearborn. And so we're coming, yeah. I want L24, you're right.
Yeah, it's 24.
Well, anyway, you're on a class 2 on Hollister, and
right.
Then there's a ramp. The class 2 ends, and you ramp.
I see. It's on L25. It shows the ramp shows up. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just looking up backwards. Right here. Yes, there we go. Okay. So you ramp onto a 10-foot combined sidewalk and bike lane.
Pardon me?
And that allows you to get around the roundabout, and you would cross each leg with at a crosswalk.
So on sheet L24, then, if you turn back a page, I'm following along.
And then crosses over, and then goes down that way.
Okay.
As a bicyclist, I then use the splitter lanes and pedestrian crossing, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Or I do have the option of just using the travel lane.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
That's fairly clear.
Yeah. Right.
And then I would strongly suggest or question the use of large planting materials. As beautiful as they would look in the center of these planters, as they obscure a clear vision across the entire circle, I would encourage you to look at nothing higher than driver's eye height or even hood height so that one can see what's going on in the entire circle. And this might bear out if we looked at the other circles in town. I know that on our bike traffic circles on campus, we do not put anything in the middle of them for that very reason, so that one is not distracted.
Let me address that comment. You know, I know the engineers, in this case, Drake Haglund, gave us lines of sight, you know, diagrams, and so they've told us specifically that, you know, the plant material shouldn't exceed a certain height at certain locations, and what's reflected here reflects, you know, those guidelines for what it's worth. But, I mean, I certainly take your point, but I think you know, between this apron and then this low Arctostaphylos ground cover, and then we've sort of centered all the larger material in the middle. So it's my understanding, based on what the engineers have told us, that this is appropriate.
We even have a large tree in the middle of our entry roundabout on campus. But
mm-hmm. True enough.
The plant material, and this is Lionothamnus, which I don't think of as having a clear trunk height, but if it were to be some species that did have that view through, I think you'd get safer circles.
Yeah, and I should point out it says Lionothamnus, but on this plan, because it was pointed out to us that Lionothamnus is not on the approved Goleta street tree list, so as much as I would have liked to use it, we have Lophostomin instead, so that's what's reflected on these plans, and we'll get those to the city staff. But
thank you.
Mm-hmm. My question would be about the reclaimed water lines. Is if you're going to cover that somewhere else, we can cover it later. But
do you know anything about it? I'm trying to think. Is this project reclaimed water?
We've been preached that.
No, it's not reclaimed water. That's what I thought.
So it was deleted from the project?
Well, I don't think it was ever an option from the standpoint of a source. That's
no,
my recollection.
I don't think
yeah.
it was available.
Yeah.
All right. The Equell extension has, so we've been told, included a purple pipe for years now, to the point where Old Town Village was going to tie into it contingent upon Equell. So that's just not there.
I know, because I know that the city applied for new water meters for all elements of the project with the Goleta Water District. I'm pretty sure there's no reclaimed water available.
If there was, we would use it for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Right, just to beat this to death, in case I misspoke or asked a question that wasn't clear, we had been told once upon a time that the Equell extension was going to add it.
Well, it might be that we were going to include that conduit in the corridor for future, in case it is available. Therefore, it's there, and the conduit's there, and you can just hook up to it. Could it have been that?
Possibly. That's
yeah.
not what was
but,
sold to
but,
the public,
you know,
in my recollection.
Yeah. I can certainly.
But even that's not happening?
No, that's easy to do. Yeah, we certainly could do that. Yeah.
Because, one, as a business guy, my guess is it's a whole lot cheaper to do it when we've got everything
right.
torn up.
Absolutely.
So
isn't there state funding also to extend reclaimed water rights if we apply for it in advance?
I'm sure there is. I'm not specifically aware of it, but I'm sure there are grants or funding you can apply for to do that. I don't know what the nearest reclaimed water facility is to the project or network.
I'm sure
yeah.
benefit.
I'm not sure whether, Caltrans might be using reclaimed water on 217.
So there might be some
yeah. But they're not going to, Caltrans won't
no.
let us use it for Equell and Fowler. They might, yeah, so, but something we will research, yeah.
What's the long-term maintenance on the landscaping? Is that worked out yet?
Is there 3 years? Time establishment mean?
Just weeding, just maintenance, How long will it get maintained?
That's something the city would have to answer. I'm not familiar with the...
Well, there is a 3-year time establishment period, which
okay.
is standard.
So the installing contractor will maintain it for 3 years?
Yeah, or the sub of the contractor,
okay.
right.
Well, they'll probably contract it out separately.
Right. And then, but beyond that, I don't know what the city's normal protocol is. Yeah. 5 years?
Private development.
5 years is okay. The plan establishment bond period, so ours will probably be for maintenance.
Okay. And then after 3 years, it just let alone?
Well, it just goes to the city's regular maintenance schedule, which is what they do with other street trees, and you know, you have a contractor that does that, so it just gets absorbed in the city's schedule.
Do you have a section of the typical infiltration area, like what's going on as far as gravel?
I don't personally have it. I remember obviously seen it, but as I remember it, it's depressed area, about 2 feet of cover, and about a couple feet of rock, essentially not deep enough to plant a tree.
Did you ever consider or explore structural soil mixed in with in an infiltration area so you can get a tree in?
That's not something I broached with the design engineer. I can ask the question.
Yeah, something to think about, maybe. It'd be nice to get a few trees here and there.
Well, it's like when you make a commitment to trees in some places, you almost are obligated to use them everywhere, just for continuity's sake. So, but I'm happy to look into it.
And in the cobble areas, I don't know. It'd be nice to get a plant here and there in the cobble, but it'd be a nice way to soften that cobble. But I understand that's an extra cost to get irrigation in there. But
well, and maintenance too.
I've seen that done in Ventura with success. They just, a plant every 12 feet or so in the cobble. I think the plant choices are good. I was asking about maintenance because, weeds long-term and these kind of projects are such a problem. I would actually encourage you to plant dense ground covers that will just cover the soil and keep the weeds down as much as possible.
Well, I mean, the primary ground covers
Carex will do the job.
Carex, and then we have Senecio, and then we have rock. I mean, those, and then the roundabout Arctostaphylos, Pacific mist, I think we have here. So I agree. And then with 3 inches of mulch everywhere, that should work.
Thank you, Chair. This is advisory, so I guess I'm kind of looking at it somewhat like conceptual review. I've been following the Equal Fowler Project since I was on the Planning Commission 9 years ago, so it's interesting to see how it's changed over time. Regarding the roundabouts, any chance that you have to replicate the roundabout at Los Caneros and Cal Real is appreciated because I think that's been very successful and actually won some awards for its design and landscaping. I'm concerned about too much stone cobble and textured concrete. That isn't really what our community is about, and I understand the issues of not using too much water and the issues of maintenance. But at the same time, that's sort of an entrance to Old Town Goleta there with the two ramp back-to-back roundabouts. So I think we want to make it as attractive as possible. I don't think the city should be exempt from high standards of quality design like we hold other entities to. We didn't really talk about the bridge. I don't know if that's going to come up, but I just want to say that the bridge behind on the Hampton Inn is very attractive in terms of the way that it's built and aesthetics. And then lastly, I just want to thank Member Swaney for keeping his eye on the ball. I really feel, I don't know if hoodwinked is the word, but truly disappointed about the lack of internal communication and coordination on these projects with Equifowler. The idea was that the recycled water system would be part of that project. So for people to now realize, well, we hadn't heard anything about that and we'll write it down and add it to our list is disturbing. This was brought to us not that long ago with the Old Town Villages and saying that they would hook up to recycled water as soon as it became available via the Equal Fowler. I guess it's the Equal Extension. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
I don't really have a whole lot to add. I think everybody's pretty much touched on all the points, but I would kind of want to echo and chime in with both Bill and with Aaron about the recycled water. That really needs to be looked at, and included. I mean, it was, that's the way it was billed to us with these other projects in the area, that it was going to happen once it came in, and we should be seeing that. So that's pretty much, I think, it.
Can I just respond to the board briefly?
Yes.
on the issue of the recycled water? It was not part of the project description, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't discussed as being an opportunity. And as you know, as Gerald explained, the conduit is there, but when we don't have a place to hook up to by Goleta Water, because I don't think that's, we haven't been given a green light by Goleta Water. There is no recycled water line nearby. So I don't know how easy it is for us to
have. We understood that this was going to go as far as needed to go to get hooked up, is what I recall.
Okay, well, so there
may
have been.
In the press and otherwise, you know,
okay.
Press releases from the city.
All right. Well, there's been a lot of discussions with all the districts and all the agencies since the time that maybe that was in the press, and it might be that it became fiscally impossible to do. I don't know where the nearest, you know, recycled water line is, and we'll certainly look into it if it's something that we can add into it. The best we can do right now is a conduit, but thanks for bringing that to our attention. We'll look into it.
Yeah, if it was fiscally impossible, I guess I can understand that. We just should have been told that from the beginning.
And again, you know, we're further along in the design process than we were when we were here in 2011, and so a lot of conversations with the different agencies, and including the water district. So we'll definitely take a look at that and see if we can make it happen.
Well, thank you. So this is just advisory, so there's no motion needed. So you have our comments on this. Thank you.
Okay. Oh. Lighting on the bridge.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But, sorry about that. Yeah, let's move on to the lighting.
Part two. So in your packets, I believe you have some colored photographs of... I do have copies of those myself, so...
And put that on the screen.
These first two, suggest the type of pole and lighting fixture that. Thank you. That might be used on Eckel and Fowler. The poles are Ameron. It says Goleta there because they actually have a model pole called Goleta. So I thought it's got to be a sign. So we put that on here. So, you know, our inclination is to use fixtures, poles, and fixtures, light standards that you know, have some sense of the of heritage from Old Town. And you'll see this too in the Hollister, what's being proposed for Hollister, and so I think that reflects itself in this style of pole. This is a very traditional style. You can see the fixture as it's shown here too. I'm talking about the lighting fixture itself. It pays some homage to the heritage of Old Town. And so these are just, you know, suggested pole types and fixtures. I know I was involved in writing guidelines for Old Town, and you know, if you look at that document, which goes back a few years now, and the fixtures that we show in that document, you know, are somewhat reflective of what we're showing here too. So I just point that out. Now, if you move forward, now I don't have copies of what you have, but there are, I believe, three colored photographs for Hollister. Ah, here we are. Is this it? Well, Fowler, where are the Hollister ones? Okay, here we go. Ah, here we go. There's three different poles shown here. They're all made by Ameron. And so, again, these... make some reference to Old Town. Now, I think what has to happen, too, obviously, is, you know, whatever we use down here near the roundabout would probably want to be used in Old Town as well. And I'm not privy to what redevelopment plans have been made for Old Town and, you know, whether this would be consistent with that. But for purposes of discussion here today, we're showing these examples. And these would all be, all the poles here that you see are all spun concrete. And then they have a sealer that goes on, and I actually have, well, it's kind of hard to see this here now, but it has sort of an exposed aggregate finish. And so there's sort of anti-graffiti, anti-maintenance finish on them. The lighting fixtures themselves, the housing and whatever, would be painted, but the poles themselves would be this spun concrete. So there's three examples here of what we could, of what might be used. Yeah. Yeah, you could do that.
Are we supposed to pick?
No. No, I don't think the final selection hasn't really been made, but we wanted to just show you some examples of what we feel would be appropriate and get your comments on it. I mean, there's a myriad of choices, of course. But no, we wouldn't ask you to actually choose.
Is this lighting considered dark sky compliant? Are these factors that we're looking at in this project?
Well, you know, yeah, generally, of course, this probably would not be, but, you know, we have to, I think we would have to sort of consult with the lighting engineer on that, because obviously they've, and I actually have an illustration of a plan, rather, I should pop this out, that shows exactly where all the fixtures would be located for those that might be interested in that. So obviously this is the Hollister layout, and so that's the location of all new fixtures. This is for Equil, and Fowler. So obviously there's issues of you know, because there's pedestrian traffic moving through all these areas, so the location and the lighting, if you will, is going to be dependent on, you know, how much light they actually project.
So you're going to have different ones for the smaller roads than you're going to have for Hollister.
I should point out, if you look at that first set here, yeah, if you look at the Goleta pole, you'll see they have a PED light halfway up the pole. Hmm. So I think we propose that it would work like this in pedestrian. Well, for Equil Fowler and for Hollister. Wherever the lighting engineer feels that we need additional lighting for pedestrians, this would be the configuration that would probably end up being. Okay.
Is there any existing lighting like that anywhere in Goleta where it has the two lights on one pole where it's lower level and then overarching? I haven't seen that. Maybe I missed it.
Not to my knowledge, but...
What was the question?
Oh.
Just this is lighting that I haven't seen introduced into Goleta before where you've got...
For the pedestrian light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just haven't seen it.
I don't think so. I think it's more a matter of
kind of interesting
proposing, you know, like sort of a character study. Mm-hmm. You know, this would be sort of the direction that the lighting standards and fixtures would go. So, I mean, welcome your input on that, obviously.
Light or luminosity is dictated on the roads by design standards, mm-hmm. as you probably know, and especially around roundabouts, there are certain requirements, and those will all, of course, be complied with.
Um,
think it's quite attractive. Does anybody wish to weigh in with comments? General.
Was there earlier?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I like the Goleta series best, I guess. Even this one that swings way out overhead, I like it better than any of the Washington ones. Not a big fan of the Washington flame. I don't know what that is, a candle or something. This one is the better of the Washingtons, but the other one seems completely. This would be cool. It's more like a wharfy. Do they have that downtown? The wharf? More like a wharf kind of.
Yeah, that domus fixture. They call it domus.
Is that what that
fixture.
Is?
Mm-hmm.
Always reminds me of being on the sea or something.
I agree.
I particularly dislike the Washington ones. Yes. this one, the Victorian too. This is somewhere in Goleta, isn't it? We have these somewhere. It was on Goleta Beach. Do we have these on the pier? Hmm. With the green hangovers like that. I'm not a big fan. And this one definitely is too juxtaposey with, like, the top doesn't seem to match the bottom. I stay away from those ones. That's my opinion. I would stick to the first ones. I like the Goleta ones.
Okay.
Well, in general, my preference is for the least fussy of the designs, and I think that matches the character and spirit of Goleta and Old Town. And so that's both for the pole and the fixture.
A work one.
So this one on the right here, I think it's just my personal preference that as I looked at the poles, too, there's some that had a much fussier base, and I think just the cleaner, more straightforward, if you will, agricultural spirit is more appropriate.
And those ones are probably more dark sky friendly, right? Because they're going down instead of.
Yeah, the base of the poles on the Goleta series remind me of lots of things I've seen in almost 40 years in the area. I'm trying to, for some reason, the poles around the statue of Father Serra in right out in front of Ventura's City Hall come to mind, but I can't confirm that. It's just my first gut reaction. And then the Washington series, as Dennis said, is probably my second choice, but if it's dark sky compliant and the other's not, I'd go with that one. And Victoria 2 is, in my mind, clearly the worst choice.
Well, the Victoria really is referring to the poles themselves. So, I think your comments should be directed at, I like this pole and I like this fixture necessarily. So what I'm hearing then is what you'd like is a very simple pole and perhaps this, what I'll call domus type light fixture on top.
Yeah, I'd still say Goleta's number one, but Washington's a very strong second. Okay. And if it's better in any functional way, clearly take it.
I would agree on this fixture. I like the finish matching the fixture. That works for me. Mm. And it's dark sky, so which is, I think that's what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. This would be runner-up for me, the Goleta, but all in the same finish. I assume that's a higher standard. I'm not sure, but
yeah. Okay.
Well, far from me to be an expert in this, so this is just one person's opinion. And just to say that the aggregate composition cladding to me speaks of 1970s and looks inexpensive, and I prefer some sort of a metal finishing in comparison on the poles.
Well, my own opinion on it is I like the mixture, and I like the idea that there's some of these are kind of recommended for the Hollister corridor and some are recommended down the Equal Corridor. I as far as poles go, I'm a fan of all. I mean, I don't have any favorites. I mean, I like the Goleta. I also like the Washington with the exposed aggregate, because that feels I'm a little bit different from Bill, because this feels more like 1920s. But there's some original ones sitting on Foothill, just a very few up there that are metal, and they look good too. As far as the fixtures on top, that I think there's a good mix. I would like to see Dark Sky. I don't know if these can somehow be arranged that way. Maybe the bulb inside could be fitted. I don't know.
I'll have to check.
I'm not a fan of the carriage lantern looking outside for the fixture on the top. So I'd steer away from that. But I kind of like all of them. I like the overall direction. I especially like the idea of different standards at different areas.
Okay. Good. Thank you. So we have one more item to show, and that's the bridge railing for Hollister Bridge. So, thank you. There we go. So, there are five different options shown here. I think we just came up with five. And I said this is going to be difficult with. Anyway, I should point out that option one is our preferred option. I should also too like to point out that, you know, all these different design types, if you will, sort of harken back to bridge railings, and I've had some experience with bridge railings in Santa Barbara, but they're all sort of reflective of bridge railings that were designed in the late teens, early 20s. You know, they're all cast concrete, and I think, you know, I think they're all attractive, but I think this one with these pilasters, exposed pilasters, I should say, and is probably our number one choice. I think we've talked about maybe number three as well, one or three, but I think option one was the one that the consultant team, preferred. So
they're all full openings,
yes.
With the exception of the pilasters. Relief, exactly, yeah. Except for the pilasters, it was just relief.
Yeah.
Question. So those are openings. Doesn't it have to function as a guardrail also?
Oh, it's a guardrail.
They're
4-inch openings.
That's 4 inches? These
openings here. Well, 4 to 6, whatever. What's code kind of went back and forth, but.
Okay, exactly. But for a local street, it's.
You can go greater than 4 on. Okay.
Yes.
Size of a child's head.
8 inches.
Yeah, they're getting bigger now.
5 3/8.
So the finishes for concrete, colored concrete? Or?
Yeah, I anticipate, you know, just from a traditional perspective, that it would be, you know, smooth trowel, you know, gray concrete.
Just gray.
Were there any alternatives considered to concrete?
Like?
Wood?
Oh.
Metal,
well, steel. I would point out that all these railings have to be crash tested, so I suspect wood wouldn't work. This is all, Caltrans doesn't, they, it all has to meet their standards or federal standards.
It's concrete that looks like wood, right? Like they have on the
Yeah.
Right. Okay, then that as well, I mean, in terms of alternatives, but concrete was just decided with the gray finish was the only choice.
Well, that's the...
I think it was decided that this was the most appropriate choice. To be honest, it never crossed my mind to do anything but concrete, because concrete's what you see, you know, historically. I mean, I know throughout Santa Barbara, for instance, and Mission Creek, it's all concrete. I mean, examples there are here in Goleta.
But the only different one I could think of is the is along Danielson out in Montecito where it crosses, and it has that real massive.
Yes.
But even that's concrete. Looks like wood, but it's concrete.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I like the notion that, you know, back in the, you know, in the teens and the 20s, this is what they looked like. Curiously, though, they didn't have openings, many of them. They were just, you know.
Fake.
Yeah, just recessed.
Yeah. Well, there was some modern ones. They did that on the overpass Winchester Canyon over the freeway.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
I like option one.
Okay.
That's my.
Yeah, I think it'll be attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Okay.
Option one, yes.
Option one. I'm good with one.
How long is the span? How long will this?
It is it's about 70 foot.
Sorry, no, it's okay.
I was just going to ask a question. Have you thought about putting any kind of commemorative tile in there or something? I don't know.
Answer your question. No, I hadn't thought about that. It reminds me of Santa Maria. That's what they do up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? Yeah. but it wasn't the pile after. It was just along the top.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Maybe we could have a little City of Goleta in the fake ones, you know.
I don't think that in my view, the tile wouldn't be sort of real traditional. And I'm you know, it's proximity to Old Town. I'm just looking for something that's a little bit more.
Yeah. Or art, or I don't know.
Yeah, I like number one myself. I do have one question. There's on that creek. Maybe that's already been torn down, but there was a bridge. It's not Hollister, but it's like an alleyway. What's going to happen with that thing?
That's the metal prefab.
Yeah, it's kind of a
bridge.
Unique. Yeah,
it's not even a bridge. It was a gangplank.
Okay.
For a boat.
Yeah.
And it's when the rest of the creek project is completed, which is actually part of the bridge project, to link up the rest of the creek, that will be removed.
Okay. Is there anything anybody going to try and hang on to it, or?
Oh, you can make an offer to the contract if you want. But yeah, historically you might have some interest for somebody.
Are you telling him to walk the plank? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's a different kind. At least that one, there's handrails. So. Okay. So does this cover all the phases of the project? Okay, well then you've got our input then.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chair, Laura, are we bringing this to City Council for a report at some point? Or I know that was.
Probably when we have more progress at Coastal Commission.
Okay. Okay, and at that point we'll summarize DRB's sort of comments.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, so all we have left now is announcement by members, if anybody has an announcement. Being none, I hereby adjourn this meeting.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
I've
been searching through rain.